Amen. Amen. You know, I want to read this verse to you before we pray because it just reminds me of the power of the resurrection. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So his love is real. His grace is real. His presence is real. And that means my hope is real because it is based on the resurrected Lord Jesus. We should pray. Father, we come before you now and we are grateful. We're grateful to gather together across this land in so many different ways, Father, at our sites here. Father, we are coming before you now and asking for your help. We're opening your word. Speak to us, remind us of things that we know, things that we might have forgotten, but Lord, begin to prepare us for this fall and this winter and what you have in store for us. So we ask this now in the name of Jesus, our resurrected Lord. Amen. All right, why don't you guys have a seat? I'm going to let these guys go. This is going to be one of those days where we're going to teach, and then we're going to worship, and we're going to teach, and we're going to worship. And so if you're like a math person, because I know there are math people, you're going to try to dial me in. I know how you think, and you're going to go, well, okay, so this was this long, so to carry the two, that means this next part. You will never be able to predict how long each one of these sections is. So just stop, okay? I was driving in my neighborhood, and you know, I've told you before, you don't drive like this because then you swerve all over the road. But I was driving in my neighborhood, and I came up to a stop sign, and it was at this place. It was the main thoroughfare in our neighborhood that cuts and connects you to like one of the main roads in this part of the county. Okay, so a lot of people will come through there, but it's a stop sign, and I look to my right, look to my left, I look down the hill. It's clear, but then coming up, I mean, barreling up, is this guy that just. I'm like, cool, I'm not challenging that. I mean, he blew past me. And I was like, yeah, okay, you go first. Now, what you need to know is, like, right then and there, like, to my right, I can see it. There is this sign that says, you know, one of those children at play signs, drive slowly. It's one of those signs. And I mean, he was just, like, right past. And I just want to say out loud, I'm not a law enforcement officer, okay? My brother's a police officer. I have many friends. I know many police officers. I'm not one, but I think I'm qualified in saying he was pretty far above the speed limit at this point. And I'm going, wow, buddy, you need to back it down. So I now pull out behind him, and I'm going along, and then I promise you, like, as soon as I'm behind him, and he's just moving, all of a sudden, he swerves into the other lane, and back into his lane to the point where the car rocks. Have you ever seen that before? It's like, ooh, ooh, just stops to a complete screeching, lays some rubber on the road stop. I'm like, oh my goodness, he's had a medical emergency. I'm gonna have to help him. Or did he get bad news on his Bluetooth? Or did he spill hot coffee? What happened? Nope, it's none of those things. Little squirrel, boop, 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 just running across the road. He came to a complete stop because of a little squirrel. Now, I need to make sure that you understand, I am not a full-on hater of squirrels. If they stay out of my attic, we're good. I love squirrels. I love them in casseroles, stews, squirrel tacos, anybody? There's a new farm-to-table restaurant here in town that serves squirrel. No, that's not true. It's probably true. Speaking of farms, my Uncle Amos, who wasn't technically my uncle, but Aunt Vi used to babysit for us when I was little. They were on a farm, and I remember Uncle Amos teaching me when I was a little kid how to skin a squirrel after we'd gone hunting for squirrels, because he loved him some squirrels. And I'm going to tell you what, that'll leave an impression on a six-year-old boy. But I don't hate squirrels. I love squirrels. I was thinking of this guy. I was trying to how did this little furry rodent jump to the top of your priority list? Because there are reasonable laws. There was a warning that there are children in the neighborhood. There's another car right there. And you ignore all of it, but you're going to come to a screeching stop for this squirrel. I have no idea why he did what he did. I'm not even sure he knew why he did what he did. Maybe just jolted him out of his autopilot day. But it got me thinking about us. No, seriously, it got me to thinking about you and me and this season that we're now coming into, which I think is full of so many opportunities. There's such good stuff that is happening around here and some exciting things. And I know some of you are saying, you're just trying to get us all rah-rah as we start this new ministry year. Nope, I'm also admitting to you that we're going to have us some squirrely moments. I can't predict where they are. I can't predict what they are. I just know enough that they're going to happen and they're going to come out of nowhere. And I don't want us to blow past the important things and the important messages that God has given us. I'm not saying we're going to steamroll every squirrely moment. I'm just saying we'll be better prepared for everything that is in front of us if we can continue to remember what God has called us to do. I want us to know why we do what we do. Does that make sense? You're like, Greg, that was the long way around Uncle Amos's barn to make that point. I want us to know why we do what we do. So, are you ready? Okay, so here's what I want you to do. Just turn to each other, wherever you are now, and would you please tell the person next to you what your first impression is when you hear the word worship. We're going to put some music in the rooms, and we're just going to kind of let you guys talk for just a second. So go ahead. Your first impression when you hear the word worship. Go, talk to each other. Real quickly, first impression when you hear worship, somebody.
Inviting God.
Say it again.
Inviting God.
Inviting God in. Whoa, deep. Awesome. Anybody else?
Prayer.
Love it, love it, love it. Anyone else? Jesus. You guys are giving all good answers. These are church answers. Yours was really easy. Just, whoever said Jesus, that's just too easy. Anybody think worship? Like, is music?
Yeah.
Anybody think? Let me ask it to you this way. Anyone here, anyone on watching us in at the sites or online, anyone just feel a little left out? Because every time, you're too nice to say this, but every time we talk about worship, some of you are like, ugh, it's just not my thing, man. I don't really listen to that much music. I don't like music. I can't sing. I can't dance. No, literally, I'm legally not allowed to dance because it's so painful for people to see. I get it. Some of you are like, I don't have any rhythm. I don't know how to clap. When we say, hey, clap while you're singing, I know some of you feel like, well, I need to sit down to do that because I can't do all of this at once. I know. There are others of you. Could we just say this out loud, that when I say worship, you think, yes. Yes. Give me a C, a bouncy C. Jesus, we love Jesus. Listen to me. There's some of you right now. Some of you should never play poker because I can see your faces and you're like, this is why I don't invite people to church because I don't know what he's going to do. Worship is so much more than we think it is. Yes, it involves. It involves singing. It involves good words on our lips. It involves praise. It involves all of those things. But worship, when you really understand it, is you turning your life and your focus and your attention and you arrange your life around that which matters the most. It's what you treasure. In fact, the old Anglo-Saxon word worship was really the word worth-ship. So it's that which is worthy, which means for us, from a biblical perspective, our worship encompasses all of our lives. It's how you listen. It's how you serve. It's how you give. It's how you champion someone. It's how you forgive. It's all of these things. Now, with that in mind, I want you to just see what Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So you and I are to offer our lives as a sacrifice to God. And some of you at this point are going, Greg, that sounds extreme. Well, it is. But he's worthy. He's worth it. He is the Most High God above all other gods, the psalmist tells us. And at this point, you're going, well, wait, the Bible says, are there other gods? There's only one true God. But there are a lot of small g gods and idols in our world that are constantly trying to get our attention. One of the themes you'll see in the Bible is that we become like the idols we obsess about. We become like the small g gods that we arrange our life around. And so it's these attitudes and it's language and it's actions and it's really everything. It is priorities. It all, the world is constantly squeezing us into its mold. It's trying to. And what this passage in Romans is saying and goes on to say is that we got to resist that. Whom do we worship? This is one of those things that we're going to talk about a lot in this next epic series. Overused word, I know. But this one is an epic series that is coming up. And we will talk about this a lot. By the way, this is one of the reasons why when believers, and just talk about believers, but when they fall out of the habit of gathering together, Bible says we're to gather together, but when we fall out of the habit of gathering together and opening God's word and asking hard questions, because I think that's a part of it. We ask out loud, God, what do you mean? What is this? I don't understand this. We say this. We talk to each other. And yes, it does include when we gather together the praising of his name, because this is one of our values. We believe that God is worth our praise and our devotion and our prayer, all of this. But when we get out of the habit of gathering together and encouraging one another and crying out together and just doing this together, I find that we forget what matters most. I find that the world kind of starts to squeeze us a little bit. And now the fear and the worry and the outrage that the world is filling just the atmosphere with, it starts to land on our lips and it falls out of our mouths and it's in our hearts. By the way, this is one of the reasons why I thought 2 weeks ago was such an important thing. When we gathered and witnessed so many people being baptized. Do you guys remember that? I mean, you're looking at this and you're seeing some of this right now. But did anybody else notice how many people were being baptized? And did you put it against the context of the last 18 months? Did you put it against the context that there were people of all ages from so many different backgrounds who said, wait, I will, in a bold act of worship, say, I'm with God. I'm with him. He's my Lord. Did anyone else notice how many folks like were there? How many of us were cheering them on? I think this might have been like our best attended baptism service maybe ever. How long we stayed, how much we laughed, how much we cried, how many prayers that we had, how many different ways that we did this. Listen, we need this. It's on days like this that God will speak to us and say, you're not crazy for caring this much. You're not crazy for giving or serving or praying this much. And at this point, some of you are going, wait, God speaks to you? He does. God speaks to us in so many different ways. But there is one way that he speaks to us more than any other.
Now, there's really something about being outside and in the middle of all that God has created, isn't there? I mean, he's made these majestic mountainscapes and playful streams and serene lakes and fields and prairies. And then he's filled all of it with plants and wildlife that add color and variety to all of it. And they add wonder to our souls. I love being out in the midst of it all because it reminds me of the power and the creativity and the goodness of God. And the Bible actually says that this is one of the important ways that God reveals himself to us. These qualities of God, the Bible says in Romans 1, are made known to us by looking at what he's created. In other words, we'd say we know who God is in part by looking at his creation. But that doesn't answer all of our questions, does it? I mean, we still have questions. If God made all of this, why? In fact, why did he make us? What are we doing here? These are important questions, and if you've been listening today, you've already heard us say that we don't shy away from questions like this. How about this one? What about all these things that we experience in this life that aren't good? like pain and chaos and evil? What about all of those things? I mean, we've got questions, don't we? Well, the good news is that God reveals himself to us in other ways too. And where we begin to find some of our answers is in a couple of different places. Now, it's true that one of the ways that God does this is through each other. Again, we read in the Bible that as we follow him, we should let the message of Christ dwell in our hearts richly as we teach and admonish one another, which is a way of saying that as we learn more about God and we wrestle with questions, we do all of this in relationship with one another. But there's another really special, maybe even more important, I would say foundational way that we hear God's voice, and it is through his word, the Bible. Now, this is one of the core values for us here at The Crossing. The Bible is how God speaks to us. The Bible describes itself as God-breathed, which is to say it is inspired by him, handed down to us from thousands of generations of God followers as his most precious message to us. Think about this. One scholar says, the very existence of the Bible is incontrovertible evidence of the God who refused to forsake his rebellious creation. But he reached out through the meditations of people written down in the course of over 1,000 years to make himself known and to show us how he designed us to live this life with him. So let's say that somebody comes to you this weekend and they say to you, friend, I tell you what, I've been praying for you and I think Jesus has given me a message that's just for you. I think you need to hear what I'm about to say because I think it's from God. If somebody said that to you, would you be intrigued? I would. So let's say they say to you, listen, I think, here's what God's telling me. You need to sell your house, your car. You need to leave your family, get all your money in cash, and go to Vegas and put it all on red. I think if you do that, it's going to work out pretty nice for you. Well, what do we do with that? Does that sound like wisdom? How do we know if God is or isn't speaking through that person? Well, thanks be to God, we have his word. And God would never contradict himself because that's just not who he is. So does the Bible have anything to say about gambling? Well, maybe not gambling specifically, but it has a lot to say about how we handle our money. I could show you a lot of verses, but let's just look at Hebrews 13:5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. That's helpful, don't you think? See, maybe that's a silly example, but there's so much more to this book. It is rich with poetry and story, but it's practical. It's ancient and timely, holy and earthy, honest and surprising, useful, but unbelievably beautiful. Now, maybe you've never read it before or taken it seriously. Well, let us help you with that. We would love to resource you as you dig into this book, as you dive into his word, because it really does shape our lives. And it informs everything we do and talk about and think about here at The Crossing, because it really is at the center of who we are. The Bible is God's word for us, and it is how he speaks to us. So now I want to read to you some words from Psalm 19. This is the word of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. But the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb.
There is a reason that we open God's word every time we gather. There's a reason that every class that we open God's word. There's a reason that we're constantly inviting you to get a Bible that you can understand and read on your own. We want to help you with this because this is how God speaks to us. And when we read on these pages the story of God and the story of us and his plan for us, we get to those first exalted poetic verses that we always go back to in Genesis 1. There's so much mystery there, but this we know. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And so one of these values that we have, one of these things that we sort of say helps us to stay on track, is that every human life bears the image of God. That means everyone bears the image of God. Even those who do not yet know Jesus, they all bear the image of God. This is one of the things we have in common. And so part of what that means is that every person you come across, it doesn't matter how different their background, how different their politics, their taste, their opinions on things. It doesn't, no matter the color of their skin or their ethnicity or how many degrees they have behind their name or what their net worth is, it doesn't matter whether they know how to change the oil in their car or they buy a new car every time they need to change the oil in their car. It doesn't matter if they know how to field dress a deer or bake a cake from scratch like Aunt Vi. It doesn't matter if they watch reruns of Leave It to Beaver or they spend all of their time on TikTok. It doesn't matter. We all bear the image of God. And that begins to inform how we treat each other, our kids and our parents and our spouses and our coworkers and the people who we disagree with on important matters and maybe not so important matters. The neighbor that we really don't like that much, that rival that we've had for lo these many years, they are all made in the image of God. And that speaks to the dignity of human life. It speaks to the value of human life, but it also speaks, and we've spent a lot of time on this, to our responsibility. We are the ones that are to reflect the love and righteousness of God back into his creation. That's what we do. So when I hear about the amazing, outrageous generosity of this church when it comes to, say, something that we share a few weeks ago, and it's like, hey, will you help refugees that are coming in from a horrible situation, and will you come alongside and serve them? Financial donations were made. Phones were given. One couple gave their car. She looked to him in the service and said, we're supposed to give our car. And they did. When alongside in a different way, there were others that came up and loved and resourced and gave to and cared for and encouraged an Egyptian pastor here locally who speaks Arabic, who is their translator, because we want these people to know the good news of who Jesus is. That's part of what this is like. When I hear of a report from our outreach team about third graders who have a different shot at life now, and there's a different trajectory because their reading scores are better, because some of you were reading champions in a day where it would have been easy to say, too much challenge. You've changed the face of their life. You have acknowledged them. You have said, this person matters. When we pour into our little ones here at in our kids' ministries in so many different ways, and just as a side note, one more time, we're gonna need you when we start opening up more services. There's so many different ways where we can acknowledge the worth and the value of another in so many different ways. We will stand for people and we will stand against evil. We will stand against human trafficking of young women at this church. We will stand for children with diverse abilities and their families that are trying to navigate these strange waters that we're in. We will stand for men who stand next to men and encourage them to live godly, courageous lives in this world. We will be a part of what it means to build bridges and to reconcile differences and the hard work of reconciliation and what it means to have those conversations. We will stand against the evil and the scourge of racism. We will stand up against online bullies and come alongside those who are struggling with issues that they don't think they can even admit to others, but God cares and God knows and God hasn't forgotten about them. We will give space for grace to work and work so that all lives can flourish. What about the intrinsic value of the unborn and us coming alongside in private, difficult, loving, truthful conversations because we will champion all life? Do you see how all of this is encompassed by the idea that everyone is made in the image of God? This is who we are. I could give you dozens and dozens of examples. Some of them are big. Some of them are so private, it's not even appropriate to share some of these things. But ways that you are coming alongside and saying to another, you matter. You matter. You are a part of what God is doing in this world, and let's do this together. You see, I think that that's what we've been called to, but I want to be real clear with you here. This isn't about us. I just kind of ripped through some kind of cool stories that had details and some of them that didn't. If you're looking at this from the outside in, or if you're looking here and going, oh, we're not a bunch of do-gooders on crusade. The world needs supernatural help. Amen? So we will keep pointing people back to Jesus because it is all about him. And if you want to talk about what the followers of Jesus have in common, it's Jesus, even though he is anything but common. So we're going to keep inviting people into his story. We who bear the image of God. We who, to be honest with you, are the redeemed sons and daughters of the King. We who have been called to bring order out of chaos. We who have been called to bring beauty into the brokenness. We who are called to bring shalom to each other. We who are called to bring honor and glory to him because it is all about him. This is the power of the gospel. And this is the love of Jesus.
This past summer at youth camp, we got to gather with a couple hundred youth students and declare God's love for us. We got to be in rooms and sing his praises, feel his presence so powerful and so mighty in our rooms. Coming off of a year of COVID where we didn't get to gather, we didn't get to be in a room and worship God like we have in the past, it was just awe-inspiring to sit at the feet of Jesus and worship him. This song we learned called Real Thing talks about how God's love is real. He loves us no matter what. It's not full of terms and conditions. For me personally, I've always pursued a relationship with God, but at camp, it was the fact that God wants me and God pursues me. You can't explain it. It's so powerful. So enjoy singing about God's love.
It's always chasing you. for me, and it's heavenly at the table with the King. It's the real thing.
Pray with me if you will. God, we are so grateful for your love. It's patient and kind towards us. It bears up through anything that we experience. Its hopes through all circumstances are everlasting. And so, God, we thank you for those of us that have put our trust in you and have experienced your love and know what it's done for us. We can't help but worship it and worship you, God, and all that you've done. And so, God, thank you for who you are, for what you've done in our lives. We just want to recognize who you are. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those of you in this room, you can grab a seat. Here's the thing. This love that God gives freely, even though we didn't deserve it, is something that it starts to change who we are. It starts to make us more like him. When we've accepted this love that God provides through his son, Jesus, it starts to make us more loving too towards the people around us. And part of one way that we can do that to show love towards others and really explore more of what that means is in groups, in community. And so just so you know, you might not have realized this, but here in the next week or two, we have like groups starting up. And we have groups for everybody in every different kind of walk of life, men, women, and couples. In fact, men, there's a men's kickoff happening at 3:00 today, just outside in our outside courtyard here at Chesterfield. And so if you're a man, we'd encourage you, come, like be a part of it. We've got groups for 20s and 30-somethings. We've got groups for mothers of little ones. In fact, we have even groups for middle and high school students starting on Sundays here in the next few Sundays. And you can find out all the different groups that we offer by going to thecrossing.church/groups, or if it's the youth ones, /youth. And here's the thing. I know some of you will jump on there and you'll look at all the different groups and say, well, I can't seem to find the group that I'm looking for. Well, I would encourage you, reach out to us. We'd love to help you try to figure that out. Or maybe, just maybe, you need to consider leading a group or hosting one. And again, you can reach out to us if that's something that you're interested in doing. And you can just email groups@thecrossing.church, and we'd love to get that process started. But here's the thing, is groups is not the only way we can be in community together to show other people the love and care that Jesus provides. We can invite people to church, to service. And so some of you need to consider what it looks like if you're joining us online, to start a watch party. Invite some people to watch along with you, in part so that you can be in community together, even maybe distant. Or for those of you in this room, I would encourage you to think about inviting somebody to service with you so that you can sit together and maybe even digest what we're talking about on the weekends. In fact, next weekend, we start a new series. And so next weekend's a great weekend for you to invite a friend. You see, we are called to be in community together, to live in pointing people to Jesus. That's what we're called to. And when we do that, in part, what starts to happen to us, I already talked about the idea of like, it starts to change us. We become more generous people with our time, our gifts, and our finances. And so really quick, I just want to say thank you to those who give the ministries of this church. It's because of you that we get to communicate and represent the love of God in this part of the world, and really across the globe. But if you're exploring the claims of Jesus or new to this church, please don't give. In fact, we just ask that you say hi to us. We'd love to meet you, and all the ways you can give, for those that you want to, will be up on your screen. But for those of you who are kind of exploring things, just say hello. One of the best ways you can do that is by texting the word hello to 48099, or there's a group of pastors over here that would love to meet you.
Okay, let's keep going here. We who are the church, and by church, I don't mean a building, I don't mean a denomination, I mean we who have been called out of darkness alongside Jesus. We are called to do this together, which means we, the redeemed, though we are many, are one. The Bible says that we're like a body with all of its many parts working together as one. This is something that we go over a lot around here. And Ben, usually at this point, I will drop a really fun Hebrew word on them. But I would like for you to drop some Greek on us. So come on, just talk to us for a minute.
There's a Greek word called koinonia. And the best...
Well, wait a minute, make them say koinonia, because I make them say echad.
All together now. Koinonia. Let's do it. Koinonia.
It's not as much fun as echad, but it is koinonia. Yeah. Go ahead.
So the best way to translate koinonia is the word fellowship. And it points at this really close, really intimate, just community that the people of God are called to be. So for me, my favorite place to go in the Bible to talk about koinonia or this fellowship is Acts 2:42. We read that the followers of Jesus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. So there's that word koinonia. And you see, Greg, just all these marks that we're called to be as Christians as we do life together, right? So they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, so they're examining the eternal truths of God. They're breaking bread, so they're around tables. They're in close relationship with each other. They're praying, so there's that devotion to the one true God who's worthy of our worship. They do all of these things, and when you flip over to Romans 15, Paul uses that same word, koinonia, to describe this gift that he wants the Christians in Rome to give to the believers in Jerusalem.
So just stop for a second, though, because you're making the case that koinonia means fellowship.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at that verse in Romans 15, I don't see the word fellowship. Yeah. So that's translated as...
gift or contribution?
As gift or contribution.
So I think what Paul's saying there, I think when I'm reading that, is as the people of God, as his body, as we fellowship together, we begin to use the gifts that God has given us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to go and make a difference in the world.
Okay,
we're
giving that gift and we're doing this together. Yeah. Okay.
By the Spirit of God working through us and empowering us as we go into the world.
So it's all Jesus. It's all due to the Spirit working in you. But part of what I think Ben is saying is you who follow him, you who are filled with the Spirit, you are a gift. And you're a gift to the people sitting next to you, and you're a gift to the world around you, you're a gift at work, you're a gift, and we need to live that way.
Yeah, and they're also gifts for us, because their generosity allows us to do some incredible things at this church, like the Genius of One conference that's coming up, which I think you guys filmed that last week,
and
it's going to be digital, it's going to be online, but there's, I think, 15-odd countries that are going to be tuning in.
Yeah.
Over four continents. This content's been translated to, I think, 12 languages.
Yeah.
So this is like, God's going to do something through this.
So this is essentially what you and I would call a body life class here. It's a lot of those principles with a little bit more. And so it is. It's going to be translated in over a dozen languages. Yeah. It was our teachers and our video people and our graphic artists and our writers that were putting all of this together. And it's going out to all of these community leaders and pastors and government leaders. Literally around the world.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a thing. I just want you to know that's because of your faithfulness and your giving and your staff and you're cheering them on. So that's just happening out there. It is really the many working as one, and you're a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would say, though, that it is also, I see your Genius of One, and I'll raise you one. You guys, there's a group of you that are going to Zimbabwe.
We are.
Like, in a few minutes.
Wednesday.
Right, Wednesday. Okay.
So it's coming. I should go pack maybe or something like that.
Yeah. I didn't mean to freak you out there. Will you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. It's this group, guy. I'm so excited. And please be praying for us this week, because we're going to need it just for God to show up and use us. But it's such a great example of the many working together as one.
Yeah.
Because there's such diversity in this group. We have people from Kids Crossing. We have worship leaders going. I'm going to be doing some theological training for some pastors there. But my favorite example of Mark Munzer, who's one of our rock star facilities guys, just working behind the scenes, he has like a laundry list of things to do, and he's bringing a toolbox. So he's going to do some repairs and just really bless these people in tangible, practical ways.
There's an office there in Zimbabwe that helps many denominations, the Evangelical Fellowship of Zimbabwe. And so Mark is going to go and serve them in many ways, how he serves us here. Yep. So, okay, you said something about prayer, and I want, who's going to do the praying here? You got, Jude's got the mic. Will you pray for Ben and Mark and all of the others that are going? This is your church now, again, in a good old New Testament way, gifting to the rest of the world something. So would you pray for them, Jude?
Lord, the only reason our team is going on this trip is because of you. So we're asking, would you please go before them? Would you protect their travels? Would you protect them from sickness and injury, God? Would you just create really precious, sweet, holy times between them and our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe? So, Lord, we're just excited for them. Please, now, we surrender this trip to you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben. Okay, remember when I told you that there was no way you were going to be able to do the math on how each one of these sections was going? And for those of you keeping score, we have 5 core values, and we've gone through 4 of them. And so you're going, this fifth one's going to take a while. No, it really isn't. Let me just share something with you. But to do that, let's go back to the squirrel guy. Can we just go back to him for one more time? Just one more time. He comes to a screeching halt. You remember? Just little squirrel runs across. I would have thought that that got his attention. But I promise you, because I was behind him, as soon as that little squirrel got all the way across the street, he went right back to it. And I mean, there was a stop sign that was there. He didn't even give it a top of the morning tap of the brakes. He just was like, right on through it. I guess he figured I stopped for the squirrel early, so that must count for the stop sign. And he went barreling right through. There were more signs, hey, children at play, please go slowly. And I just thought, oh my goodness, I don't want to do that either. You see, here's the thing. Sometimes God will get our attention, say, at church, and we'll be reminded of some things, and we'll go, oh, that was good. And then before you know it, we're right back in the world, and let's not do that. Let's not do that. Let's understand that the world that we now will go into is a world that is broken. It is loud. But it is not a world that Jesus is overwhelmed or intimidated by. He has been sending his followers into this world for 2,000 years. And I'll say it again. We've been saying it all the way through this incredible journey we've been on the last 18, 19 months. But the church of our Lord Jesus has prevailed, not just survived, but has prevailed against all sorts of challenges and hurdles and obstacles and persecutions, and that doesn't change today. The kingdom of God is advancing, and his church is alive and well, and the gospel of Jesus is going to keep moving forward. You see, listen to me now. Listen to me now. We have been called to go and make disciples. That happens close to home. It happens far away from home. And that discipleship making is a big deal to us. It's why all sorts of things are happening around this church. We want to keep inviting people in and learning what it is to live a grace-soaked, spirit-filled, Jesus-following life. That's what we've been called to do. But right after Jesus gives us his marching orders at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, when he says, go! He gives us these words, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus promises to be with us, first of all, at the end of the age. So I got to tell you before we leave, this next series for 8 weeks, it'll start next week, and we're going right up until Thanksgiving. We are going to open maybe the most talked about, misunderstood, argued over book of the entire Bible. More movies have been made about it. More books have been sold about it. More heated conversations have happened over, well, what is the seven bowls, or what is the Antichrist, and who is that? We're going to, for 8 weeks, we're going to open God's Word and study the book of Revelation. Now, here's what I want you to do. Some of you have heard this and you knew this. Real quickly, right here, in this moment, will 2-3 of you just tell me, like, when you hear, ooh, we're going to study the book of Revelation, like, what's the first thing that comes to mind with that? Just real quickly, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Awesome.
Awesome. Finale.
Chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 6, you will be blessed.
You'll be blessed. The people of God, if we read this out loud and we listen, we will be blessed. Come back next week. So some of you are saying, awesome. Anybody here, you're not going to, maybe you will. Anybody here curious? Anybody here nervous? Yeah, I'm hearing yeah. Anybody here go, this book freaks me out. Listen to me, I want to right now, because we're going to do it again and again and again. I want to lay the foundation here. We will not be able to answer all of these questions, because as best I can tell, for 2,000 years, nobody's come up with the definitive, that's what John meant. I will tell you that there's an awful lot in there that we will know and that we will see and that we will experience together. In fact, on every page of this book, there is a person, there is a thought, there is a name, there is a theme. Gang, I just want you to know, if God is on his throne, and I believe he is to be adored, he is to be trusted, he is to be worshiped, for he is enough. We're trying to think of what could be the symbol for this series, because we still don't know what the face of Jesus looks like. We're not going to make the symbol the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We're not going to make it some strange number or some strange symbol. We're going to remind people what is on every page of this book. The King. It is about the King. In Revelation 11, verse 15, it says, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet. There's all of that going on. And there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever. I'm giving you the punchline to the story, but I want you to come back. And I will say this out loud. You know somebody who needs to come to this. You know somebody who's never owned a Bible, who's watched movies, and whose head is full of all sorts of misinformation. You know people who have given up. You know people who are really close to giving up. Let's do this. Let's see what God says to us over the next 8 weeks. I will not come to you as an expert. I will come to you as a student. And I'll try to share some things that I've been learning. But I'm going to just be straight up with you. I'm not trying to be too emotional. Now, as I read it, as I listen to it, I can't hardly open the book of Revelation without just emotion. It means so much. The last value is this. God is not finished with us or this world, his world. So we got work to do now. That really great verse from Matthew 28, he says, I will be with you all always to the end of the age. Yeah, he'll be with us at the end of the story. But right here, he's promising, I will be with you all the way up until the end of the story. That means Jesus is with you and promises to be with you right now. And as I read those verses, I think of, honestly, I do, I think of people who come each week and who are thinking of coming each week, and you're just watching online right now, but you're like, Greg, I can barely stand to hear all of this triumph talk and all of this hopeful talk and all of this let's worship talk, because you have no idea what's crashing in on me. You're right. I don't think any of us know what's crashing in on each other. But I will tell you this, this is how we endure. We trust. And we believe that he is on his throne. And so if you come and you can only stand and listen to the music, then allow it to wash over you and to remind you, because he is Lord, which is why we wanted to now really leave you with a blessing. So we just kind of talked a little bit about why we do what we do, and we've sort of stirred things up and maybe given you some ways to think about and invite others. And by the way, on social media this week, we're going to give you other tools and ways to just invite your friends. Let's go. How about this one? Make us open more services. It's time. It's time. We're going to need your help in a lot of ways, but make us open up more services. Let's do this together for his glory. But we wanted to leave you with a blessing. And so the blessing is one that is traditional. It goes way back into the Old Testament. You know it. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. You know this blessing. I was thinking about this, because y'all are about to do this here, and we're going to do it at the sites. And it is this beautiful, like, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. And it's a thing that was, the priests did this. They used to do it at the beginning of, you call it a service. Now it happens at the end of a service. But it was the priests blessing people. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute, but we're all singing this together. So how does that work? Because, like, I'm sitting there singing with you going, yeah, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. Like, you're going to invite, we're going to be singing with you. But traditionally, it would be the priests doing this. So how does that work? Oh, in 1 Peter, when you belong to Jesus, you are a part of a royal priesthood now. So you know what that means? Watch what's going to happen in just a second. You will have a chance to bless others. And I'm challenging some of you. Turn around, bless them, sing it over them, pray it over them. If there's someone in your life that's not here with you that you know you're going to be having a conversation with, then you pray it over them and you bless them. And some of you are like, I'm not at that place yet. Then here's what I would do. I would receive it. I would receive the blessing. You can even change the lyric at one point, because God isn't just for the Lou. God is for you. I found myself last night at a certain part of this song. You guys couldn't tell because I had a mask on. But I found myself singing from the top of my lungs, you are for me, you are for me. So you see, this is just all going to work that way now. We're going to do it. I'm going to ask you to now, as you leave here, to understand that God goes with you, but we want to give you this blessing. And so I would ask you now at each of our sites, if you would, to stand. For some of you, you can hold your hands out to receive this blessing. I would ask now, in just a moment, that each of you would bow your heads, because in the early days, the people would bow and receive this blessing. And I'll give it to you now in Hebrew, not because we're fluent in Hebrew, but because I want you to hear how long this promise has been said and spoken and prayed. You may only pick up two words out of this blessing in the Hebrew, but I promise you, the God who was and is to come is here, and he is with us. Yevarekecha Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai penav v'lecha vikuneka. Yisa Adonai, panevaleka viasem leka shalom.